Bring in Mark Spector of Rogers Sportsnet. Spec, good afternoon. How's the day going?
Wow. So didn't Dallas's basketball team just lose a really great player because they decided they didn't want to pay him or he was out of shape or something? Now Parsons leaving the Cowboys? Like, shouldn't you hang on to guys like that?
Common sense would say yeah. I mean, I don't know how it gets to that point. I guess for the Dallas Mavericks, it worked out okay. They get Cooper Flagg and Antonio Davis. But for the Dallas Cowboys, I don't know, Spec. You tell me, is there a more polarizing owner in sports than Jerry Jones?
Yeah, he's very involved. And, you know, there haven't, like, let's go back through some history of involved owners. Usually they're a bit of a pain in the rear end because they're not football experts or hockey, you know, the expert in the sport. They just have a lot of money and bought the team. Really, owners are just really, really rich fans most of the time. And now Jerry Jones is bigger than that. What are the Cowboys worth? What's that stadium worth that he built? Like, he's a wheel. There's no doubt. But I'm not sure that he doesn't try to GM that team a little bit. And, you know, George Steinbrenner was that with the Yankees, but the Yankees won. And, you know, Jerry Buss was that with the Lakers, but the Lakers did end up winning. I'm not sure that Jerry Jones can say that, you know, can get to the end of that conversation. He's as involved or more than any owner I can think of, but they don't win, do they?
No, and, you know, they have good players. They seemingly draft well, but it always seems to be drama when it comes to extending them. Their wide receiver, CeeDee Lamb, it took a long time. Dak Prescott, on the other side, Stephon Diggs. The brother. It takes forever, and then it eventually happened. So I thought for sure this would happen with Micah Parsons, and then it didn't. So kind of a shocking one to start off with, but hey, we'll see. Maybe they got a master plan, but I really like it for the Green Bay Packers. I think that's a great move for them, especially in that division with Detroit, Minnesota, and Chicago, all competitive teams. A very, very good move for Green Bay, and they make no mistake and pay the man, which good on them for doing so, and good for Parsons to get his money. Now, Spec, we had a good question from Donovan Paulson during Five Questions, and he mentioned, of course, Connor McDavid is going to get his contract, but there are some other Oilers this season that could get extended as well. When you look at Matias Ekholm, Jake Wallman, potentially Vasily Podkolzin. When you look at those guys, if and when a deal happens, when do you think it would happen?
Oh, those are, to me, I would say, after the new year guys for sure, right? Like, it's varying guys. Jake Wallman is pretty established in the league, and I think he's the most important of all. You know, you acquired a really good young defenseman. Matias Ekholm is going to sign a shorter-term deal, and let's face it, he's getting old. He's on the back nine here. Wallman is a guy that I want to lock up if I'm the Oilers because how old is he going to be? Is he 30?
No, I'll confirm here.
An age on him. but he's got a bunch of years left, and he's going to be a big part of things around here. I like the player a lot. You know, there's a lot of – he's a physical – skilled defenseman, and they don't get a ton of those guys. And he'll stand you up at center ice. Like, I like his game, and I'm sure the Oilers do too. So to me, if he's having, you know, it's going to become up to the player, Connor. If the players, any of these players, are having an unbelievable season, then the Oilers, if they want to sign him early, they're just going to have to buck up big time. If they're having an average season, I suppose you could say, look, you're doing what you've done for the last 2 years, Jake Wallman. We know what your numbers are. You're consistent. Let's make a deal and let's sign it in February or March. That could happen. Matias Ekholm will wait until the summertime, I would think. I just sense that. And probably Podkolzin will too. He's an RFA. And what Podkolzin needs to do is unlock the offensive key here. Like, we all see a ton of hockey player in Podkolzin. So did Vancouver. The Canucks never really got it out of them. Edmonton has found that, you know, in the same way of Clem Costin, they found the defensive side and the physical side, and he's digging pucks out. He's doing a ton of great stuff like you want, right? Find me a hockey fan in Edmonton that doesn't want Podkolzin re-signed and part of this team. But if I'm his agent, if I'm him, I don't want to sign until, like, if I'm having a 20, if I could figure out how to have a 20-goal season, then I want to sign, because then I'm going to make a lot more money.
Totally agree with you. That's what I was thinking as well. Like the other guys, you kind of wait and see. Matias Ekholm, want to see what he can do. And if I'm Pod Colson and I get off to a good start, well, keep it going here. You know, strike when the iron's hot and get that deal signed. Jake Wallman, 29 years old, turns 30 on February 20th. So, get halfway through the year.
Yeah. So he's a, I mean, I could sign Jake Wallman to a 4 or 5 year deal, I think. You know, he's, in my understanding and my, I'm thinking about the guy, he's been pretty healthy his whole career. He's a skilled player. He's a character guy. I think, you know, he's part of the thing here. So I'm not telling you you're giving him 8 years, but I probably don't want him walking away as a UFA. I like Jake Wallman.
Spec, do you want to look at just at the Four Nation face-off going to the Olympics? Because the player is still down in Calgary for the orientation camp. I think they did some golfing yesterday, DVD was telling us. How much turnover do you expect to see from that team? Like, it is hard to argue with the result, and they played some pretty good hockey. The familiarity would probably go a long way, but if you had to guess, try to put a number on it, how many new faces do you think in the starting lineup?
Well, there's always going to be a few. Like, you know, let's face it. There's going to be, like, I could probably give you, what is it it's going to be? Is it a 23-man roster? Let's say it's 23-man. I could give you 12 guys are on that team for sure. Like, absolutely for sure. Then there's another 5 or 6 that, as long as they're having good seasons and they're healthy, they're going to be really hard to unseat. And then there's, like, the last 5 guys, right? Who's going to be your fourth line? Were you happy with what you had at Four Nations? Or maybe you want a little bit of a different look down there. Did you like your line combinations? Maybe, you know, like, Marner wasn't great in that Four Nations. But to me, Marner makes your team because he's such a good player. But maybe you got to play him with someone else. And maybe that facilitates a new guy. I don't know. The goalies have got to be pretty wide open, man. I'm not sure how we're picking goalies for this team. And the last thing is, you got a guy like Zach Hyman. To me, if Zach Hyman comes back and puts together a 30-goal season, Zach Hyman's on that team. That means somebody isn't. So there's going to be an injury along the way. So there will be some change. I'd say you'll probably have 4 or 5 different names that were at the Four Nations.
You get a chance to talk to Connor McDavid quite often and maybe get a little bit of a glimpse into, you know, how he is. Do you think there's any chance he would speak to the selection committee and just say, hey, guys, like, Zach Hyman knows how to play with me. It's a quick turnaround at this tournament. Might be a good idea to bring on the team, because not only that, I just think that you can put him anywhere in the lineup. TR brought up a really good point about how last year in the playoffs he wasn't on the top line and he was out there throwing 12, 14 hits a game. Like, it just seemed like to me that guy's a gamer, and if I was Connor McDavid, I might be trying to say something to influence their decision.
Well, I'm pretty sure when I say this, management will talk to Connor McDavid, among others, when it comes to selections. Like, Doug Armstrong will talk to Connor McDavid and say, we're thinking this, we're thinking that, what do you think? Again, among other guys. But Connor McDavid would not phone up Doug Armstrong, in my esteem, and say, hey, here's who I think should be on this team. I think that I got a better chance of playing in that tournament than that happening. So, Connor and asked, will give his totally honest opinion, and I would tell you that I would suspect that what you're saying is true. He would say, hey, this guy fits like a glove with me. I love this guy. I want him on my line. I'd like him on my line. But you won't catch Connor McDavid GM in that team, Connor. When the Oilers hired Jeff Jackson, and then they went out and hired Chris Knobloch, and the word got out there that Connor McDavid was GMing and making hires and stuff, he was really, really upset about that. He did not like that perception one bit. I spoke to him privately about him. I've spoke to people around him about it. He hated that. So, no, he will not phone Doug Armstrong up and say, hey, here's my thoughts on who should be on this team. That will never happen.
Yeah, and you know what? I don't blame him. I remember, you know, Brandon Douglas and I, when the change happened at coaching and Chris Knobloch came in, and the amount of, you know, like, oh, who's next? Connor McDavid's junior, coach is going to come in here and do this too. Like,
his masseuse.
Yeah, exactly. People were actually kind of upset about it. So I don't blame Connor McDavid at all. No. You don't want that perception. But I mean, if I was him, I might just lean lean in like at a practice, maybe just, hey, he's pretty good. Mark Spector joining us here on the Jason Greger Show, taking a look around the sporting world.
If you were him, we wouldn't be doing this interview right now.
Yeah, exactly. I want to talk a little Major League Baseball as well, because this weekend we're going to have an absolute gem of a series. The Milwaukee Brewers, number one spot in the National League in Toronto, taking on the number one team in the AL, the Toronto Blue Jays. If you were a betting man, would you be wagering any money that this is a future World Series?
Well, it's a long way to go. I mean, I really like Milwaukee. I watched them a little bit when in that Cubs series. I watched about three of those games, and they are very well-rounded. They've got every, you know, base covered. I hate to use that one, but it's not a pun. They've got a good team, man. Their starting pitching is excellent. Their bullpen is excellent. Defensively, they're really strong. They got a killer good catcher. You know, positionally, they're very sound. They steal bases when they need to. Like, I don't know what they don't do. Like, to me, that Milwaukee team is as good as it is. Sorry, someone's calling me in the middle of my head. So I would say to you that I like Milwaukee a lot. I think Toronto's going to need to pull a little bit bigger rabbit out of their hat if they're ever going to get to the World Series. I'm not saying they can't. But if you told me which one of these teams is going to be in the series, I would say I would more suspect Milwaukee to make it. I'd love to see the Blue Jays get in there. I'd love to see them play the Cubs in there. So let's see what happens. But this weekend, it'd be good. If you're the Blue Jays and you're stacking yourself up here, we're coming down to crunch time. Let's see how you look against, I guess, the very best team in baseball, Milwaukee. Let's see how you handle them.
Do you think Joe Baseball Fan would be appreciative of the potential World Series with the Jays and the Brewers? Like, it was just a couple of years ago, wasn't it? We had Dodgers, Yankees, like the two huge franchises. This would almost be the opposite.
Yeah, it would be brutal for ratings. It would be like whoever gets those games, what is it, Fox and I don't know who else does it. They would cry in their beers. They would hate Milwaukee and Toronto. That would be like a Carolina San Jose Stanley Cup final. Man, the ratings would suck in the States. Milwaukee's a very small center. Wisconsin is not that populous of a state. No. I mean, let's face it. Why do you think they show the Yankees in Boston every chance they get, right?
Yeah.
So, no, baseball's like hockey. They don't control who wins. They don't put their finger in the scale. But if you put, you know, what's his name, Silver, the commissioner, if you put him on truth serum, of course he'd want the Dodgers and the Yankees and the Red Sox. That's how they make their best money. That's how they get their best ratings. I don't blame the guy a bit.
People like me groan. Spec, thanks for doing this today. Really appreciate it. And we'll get you back on tomorrow to wrap up the week.
Hey, sounds good, Connor.
There you go. Mark Spector of Rogers Sportsnet.